Good morning, Washington, D.C. Hello, everybody. What's up? Time to get up and at 'em and start your weekend off right. I'm Adam Epstein. This is D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 9:10 a.m., 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. It's AWOD Radio. That's what we call the program, and we are live and local here on a Saturday, May 30th. Today, tonight, the best two words in sports, Game 7. Game 7. NBA Western Conference Finals. I've been saying for a week now, this is the NBA Finals. This is the NBA Finals. These are the best two teams in basketball. It's the current face of the league against the guy that looks like the future of the league and the alien, Victor Wembanyama. And really, every game in which SGA's played like an MVP, the Thunder have won. And every game, Victor Wembanyama has scored more than 26 points. The Spurs have won. I mean, so we're setting up for an unbelievable Game 7 tonight in OKC. But as we've gotten closer and closer, right, I'm starting to get a little bit of excitement for the Knicks. For so long, I said to myself, I cannot envision the Knicks winning a seven-game series against one of these Western Conference teams, and I still feel that way. But they're playing so good, they haven't lost in it feels like a month, and all the celebrities on the planet are rooting for them. So the NBA Finals are going to be a ton of fun next week, but tonight, Game 7, 8 p.m. on NBC, Spurs, Thunder. We'll get into that a little bit later. But like I said, the Knicks back into the finals for the first time since 1999. But I just don't think they have what it takes to get past one of these two teams. But we'll see. Maybe these teams will beat each other up so much tonight in Game 7. Anything is possible. Carolina, we know now, in the NHL, will face Vegas in the Stanley Cup. The quest for Lord Stanley's Cup continues next week. Major League Baseball season cruises on. The Nats are back to 500 after dropping a pair of games. And the NBA draft is right around the corner. We've got some new audio from my guy AJ DeMonsta. The Monster out of BYU, my new favorite basketball player, went on my favorite basketball podcast, All the Smoke. And he wants all the smoke from the rookies in the league, from the veterans, from everybody. It just sounds like a guy that is desperate to become a NBA legend. He wants to lead the league in scoring. I think he might do that in his third season. I cannot wait for AJ DeBonsta. I got some clips from him and All the Smoke that I wanted to play for you guys on the show today. French Open action at Roland Garros. No Carlos Alcaraz out with an injury. Yannick Sinner. He's up two sets to love, and he goes down with cramping, and he doesn't recover, and he drops three straight sets. And then yesterday, we had the new era. This 19-year-old Brazilian, João Fonseca, upset Novak Djokovic after being down two sets to love. So this is the new era here. I mean, this is the first time we have not had a previous champion here on the men's side still alive. And I love that we've got a couple Americans still alive, including a DMV native. Francis Tiafoe, listeners, the junkies know, played Wii tennis with cakes about 5 or 6 years ago. Tiafoe has grinded throughout his career. He's been up and down in the rankings. Is that 19 right now at 28 years old, but he's playing some really strong tennis. But in his second-round matchup, he had to go to the distance, had to go five sets to get past Herbert Hurkacz. So we'll see what he's got in the tank today. First serve is around 12 noon. But I wanted to mention Tiafoe because we love the local kid, and it has been 23 years since an American has won a Grand Slam. We might not have a better opportunity than this. Now, we're dropping like flies. Tommy Paul lost yesterday. Ben Shelton lost the day before. Taylor Fritz lost the day before. We've only got about two Americans left now. But it's been 23 years, and this is the first time I can remember in a long time that we don't have a previous champion. There's no, you know, Roger's gone. Rafa's gone. Novak just got eliminated. This might be our best chance possible. And then soccer fans around the globe. Yeah, it's a big weekend for niche sports. Soccer fans around the globe are all gearing up for today's big kickoff at 12 noon in Budapest, the 2026 Champions League Final, PSG against Arsenal. I get tweets all the time from people, A-Watt, are you going to talk about the Champions League on your Saturday show? Are you going to talk about the U.S. men's national team in the FIFA World Cup? You got to call in if you want me to talk soccer for a second. You got to call in. 1-800-636-1067. I will answer your questions. I'm happy to talk footy, but it has to be a listener bringing it up here on the show. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. We got Ben Strober running the ones and twos, the youngest Wizards in charge. My guy Ben Strober has been loving this Wizards offseason. I enjoyed listening to you last weekend with Tobes and Strobes, so I'm sure we'll bring you on during our Wizards discussion. But the biggest thing on my mind this week right now is all of the content that I was taking in from the Commanders OTAs, right? Seeing reports about Jaden. Is he understanding the offense? Looking good under center. The first chance to see all the rookies and this new-look defense with a brand-new defensive coordinator. First time NFL defensive coordinator Durante Jones, right? This has been the longest offseason of my life. I've been the one that's been saying that. I've been talking about next season since November when Jaden dislocated his elbow, right? We went from the most important offseason of my life after 12 wins to what has been the longest offseason of my life. And it continues. And it's still just May. But with it being such a long offseason, I've been telling myself, well, you have to take your wins, right? And like day one of free agency, getting Tunsil back was a win. And then the guys started flying in here and signing left and right, and that was a win. And I thought, Sonny Styles, that is the guy I wanted all along. That's a win, right? You have to stack up your wins. And OTAs this past weekend here, last few days, seemed like a real win for the Washington Commanders. Like something that we should be celebrating, a real win. Because the vibes are high. That's so important. I made fun of it last year. I was making fun of Michael Phillips all last season, my coworker Rich, because he kept saying the vibes are off. I'm like, what are you talking about? The vibes were off last year. McLaurin wasn't there. You had Cliff saying, yeah, we got to get our guys to touch grass. The defense was winning every day at training camp, it felt like. Vibes were off. Yesterday and the last few days at OTAs, it felt like the vibes were right. Guys were happy to be there. McLaurin's in the building. Tunsil's in the building, nearly perfect attendance. I love that. Maybe there's a bigger sense of urgency from these guys who understand, yeah, like we had things going in the right direction. We had a really good season, 2024, and then a massive setback. And so I think if you were in that locker room and you went through that and you decided to come back for another season, you have to be fully bought in that this thing starts early, right? I mean, that's why we talked about a couple months ago how exciting it was that Jaden was at UCLA with, what, De'Ami Brown, Rashad White, Terry McLaurin, Treylon Burks. Getting in the work done early in the offseason because the season starts, and my goodness, we have a gauntlet to start the first month of the season. But my first question to you guys today, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders fans, as we sit here on a Saturday, May 30th, after OTAs, who do you think is going to be the most important new player on the Washington Commanders offense and on the Washington Commanders defense? Who's going to be the most important new player? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. 1067. You can tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. So you look at the defensive side of the ball, and I really give Adam Peters credit because there's so many players you can point to here, right? I mean, you can choose from the entire free agent class, and at the top of that list is probably the $100 million man, Adafe Owe. And then you look at the athletic freak, Leo Chenal and Nick Cross, right? Those are three pretty big signings. Maybe you're like, no, it's the corners, Amik Robertson, Witherspoon. Or maybe it is Chaisson and Adafe Owe and Omanyehu that we brought in to help out on the defensive line. Maybe it's, hey, we brought back Tim Settle to shore up nose tackle. Who's the most important new defensive player that we brought in? Maybe it's none of those free agents, and it is the fact that we now finally have a legit middle linebacker for the first time since London Fletcher? And I mean, nothing against Bobby Wagner. He was legit. He just couldn't cover sideline to sideline last year. And I think that is going to make a big improvement to our defense, Sonny Styles' speed. And if you look on ESPN, Benjamin Solak put together a list of the top upgrades this offseason. Right at the top of the list, number three, the Commanders' linebackers. From Wagner and Luvu to Styles and Leo Chenal. Maybe that's the most important new player on the defensive side of the ball. On offense, you've got new tight end, you got a new wide receiver, you've got kind of a rearranging of the deck chairs on the offensive line, and of course, Jaden Daniels staying healthy is the most important thing. I think some people are going to sleep on Rashad White a little bit. You know, he's going to be behind Bill, and I think he's going to have to compete with Katron Allen, but I expect him to be a piece for this team that can really catch the ball out of the backfield and make a guy miss and create some explosive plays. I don't know that he is a like-for-like replacement for Austin Ekeler, but I think that he's similar to what Austin Ekeler did successfully 2 years ago, and this is a guy that's actually proven himself a little bit in this league more than some of the other guys that we've got. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 1067 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. The Sports Junkies had Paul Toboni on the show earlier this week. I wanted to revisit that, talk about the 500 Nats a little bit later on the show today. We'll get into AJ, the Monster DeBassa from BYU, who I believe will be the number one pick in the upcoming NBA draft. And tonight a Game 7, and I've got a very special guest, Zora Stevenson, who's done a terrific job. She's been unbelievable on TV as the sideline reporter, doing all of these post-game interviews and sideline reports. She will join us ahead of Game 7 tonight. She will join us at 11 a.m. She's been killing it, crushing it. So she'll give us some real cool behind the scenes as one of the sideline reporters on a nationally televised broadcast for a Game 7 tonight in the NBA. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan. Welcome back. Happy Saturday, everybody. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Use it like I do. It gives you the ability to pause the show, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can check out the Sports Junkies Monday through Friday from 6 to 10. You got Brian Mitchell, B. Mitch, and Finley, produced by my guy, Ryan Clary, the Stallion. Grant and Danny take over in the afternoons. If you want AWOD Radio, well, on the Odyssey app, you just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 in Richmond, Virginia. We're talking about the Commanders OTAs. Who do you think is going to be the most important new offensive player and the most important new defensive player? 1-800-636-1067. A few takeaways from OTAs. I mean, the big one was seeing Jaden under center. There were guys calling him a master of the offense already. I mean, the footwork is going to be the most important thing, I think, for him to focus on. It's different than what he did in college, than what he did that rookie year when he had so much success. But I do think this could be kind of like a sweet spot in his, you know, I know he likes shotgun from all the reports we've heard, but with his speed, if you can run the ball successfully, with his speed, a hard play action fake, and you roll out, like, that's how the Eagles have gotten Jalen Hurts wide open on some of these bootlegs. I would love to see Jaden Daniels with his speed just be able to get free yardage on situations like that. But you have to be able to run the ball. But we're seeing Jaden under center. The battle for wide receiver two, I mean, that's going to be the topic all offseason, and it's going to be the topic of all training camp, preseason as well. You're going to hear people want Ayuk. You're going to hear people want Diggs. You're going to hear everything. I like what we've got in the building. I mean, it's going to be exciting to see the competition here. I mean, Treylon Burks wants to make this team, and I think that is That is going to be a really interesting thing to watch here at wide receiver because he has a lot of upside. I think he's most likely to get cut. But if he shows up and he balls out, then it slides everybody back a little bit. Where does Luke McCaffrey end up? Antonio Williams probably is like a battling for wide receiver three. Jalen Lane right behind that, but with some special teams. And Diami Brown, is he just on the field for certain plays where he can go deep? Or is he, like, he was on the field a lot 2 years ago here for the Washington Commanders. And then the other thing, big thing that I took away from OTAs was seeing how this new defense looks and how they slot people around. I'm not going to read too much into it because the guys are in the lab, right? This is the exciting part of the year. They're in the lab working on things, grinding away, and these guys care so much, especially from what we hear about Jaden Daniels. He's working so hard to master this new offense. I probably feel the same way about a lot of the new defensive players trying to understand what Durante Jones wants to do. But this new defense has me really excited, and they're trying things. I saw, like, Frankie Louvu as a Mike linebacker. I didn't really expect that. I thought maybe if you go from 4-3 to 3-4, he would be only as a blitzing linebacker. Obviously, Sonny Styles is going to have to earn his time. Leo Chenault as well behind Jordan McGee, Frankie Louvu, the guys that were here last season. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Commanders just had 8 OTAs in Ashburn. They got a bunch of new players on both sides of the ball. Who do you think is most going to be the most important new defensive player and the most important new offensive player? 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Jimmy Loudmouth in Herndon. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing, man? I think that Odafe Owe is going to be the biggest difference maker, man. 6'5", 265, coming from the Chargers. I'm excited about him, man. I honestly think that Dorrance Armstrong is going to come back from injury. He's going to draw a double team. I think a lot of teams are going to be focusing on Deron Payne as well, and I think that opens it up for Odafe. Double O. Is his middle name start with an O? Out of office. You know what I mean? Like, this guy is going to be putting quarterbacks down. Out of office, out of the game. Don't drop back. Hand the ball off. I like Odafe, man. I
love your energy and your passion for him. And my thing is there, he is probably one of the guys under the most pressure this season because he's the $100 million man. Like, you need 10 sacks. He needs to be a leader, set the tone. Are you worried at all that the expectations are maybe a little too high on a guy that hasn't really been a full-time every-down pass rusher that can get 10 sacks in the season?
He's got pressure, but he's 27, so he's in his prime. So I feel like, he's got to understand that, there's going to be a lot of attention on Frankie Louvu and on Sonny Styles with our new formation. And I'm just excited that he gets, I think, a fresh coat and you know, a fresh look, a fresh team for him is going to be a big difference for him. I just think that he wasn't playing to his max potential, and he is going to be expected to do well. But I just feel like that more people are looking at Sonny Styles getting drafted in the first round, first pick, you know, like seventh pick overall. Like, there's a lot of pressure on a lot of guys on the defense, and I feel like Odafe is going to come through for us. I just have a good feeling about it.
All right, man. Appreciate you chiming in. Good call, Jimmy. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark, you're on the Fan with AWOD.
Hey, what's up, Adam? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. Happy Saturday.
Yeah. Happy Saturday, my brother. I think defensively, I'm just in awe with Sonny Styles. I think the speed of the linebacker, he is just going to be he's just going to disrupt everything, and everything is going to go through him and Leo and probably Jordan and Kane. On the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to tell you right now, I do think they do have their number two receiver in-house, and I'm going to tell you who it is. I think it's Diami Brown. And I'm going to tell you why I say it's Diami Brown, Adam. Next to Zach Ertz and Terry McLaurin in that playoff run, no one had better chemistry than Diami. Next to those two, Diami was right there with him, right there. And I think that's where Diami was coming to his own. And I think Adam made a mistake. Maybe Diami was asked for a little bit too much money, but I would have brought Diami back over Noah Brown in a heartbeat. I would have brought him back because there was he was producing at the best time. He had three great playoff games. Not great, but they were games in which he was very productive, and he had to get where everything was going. And I just think with Terry on the other side and Diami on the other, I do agree with you, but I do think Treylon Burks is going to make this team. I think Treylon and Diami are going to battle it out. But right now I would give the edge to Diami. But that could change during the summer. I think the person who could be in trouble is Luke, because I think Luke is going to have a hard time getting the number two slot, because you got two guys who can get separation and who are very good with their hands, and Treylon Burks and Diami Brown. And then you got the slot receiver. You got two guys that are completely fast. Antonio Williams can get open at a dime. Jalen Lane is just extremely fast. It's going to be very tough for Luke. It would not shock me if Luke, again, like last year when I called him, when I said B-Rob is probably going to get traded, I think Luke will probably get traded to the 49ers. But not for Brandon Ayuk. Not for Brandon Ayuk. So I just think I think they're more set than what they are. And Tigger's just going to make this offense is going to be, like you were just saying, it's going to be the Lions, only a more athletic Jaden Daniels, because we all know Jared Goff is not athletic. So with Jaden Daniels being athletic and the receivers that you have with Scary Terry, Diami, and Antonio Williams, who eventually will be your number two slot receiver. Number two receiver. I mean, it's just gonna be dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. And he's gonna be the one that's gonna be reaping the funds early. The first two games, Chigga is gonna destroy, I think, that Eagles defense, and I also think the Cowboys defense, because the number one problem, I don't care what anybody says. First of all, Philadelphia's lost a lot of defensive players in the last 2 years. So I don't think the defense is nowhere near as good as it was 2 years ago. And no one's going to tell me trading A.J. Brown makes your team better. I'm sorry. Trading A.J. Brown does not make your team better, and I think they become more predictable now than they were this time last year. Philadelphia, I think we can beat them. Dallas, I'm not worried about their front seven. I'm more worried about their back four.
Yeah.
The front seven, I think you can – I mean, it's all overhyped. And I still would have took some of these styles over Caleb Downs, because I was not a Caleb Downs fan.
Yeah.
Because you got to have someone who can disrupt things in a middle linebacker. Safeties are only as good as your pass rush, just like the secondary. The secondary, the safeties, they're only as good as your front seven and your pass rush is going to be. So, in my personal opinion, I think Washington's – these two games coming up, they're going to shock the world. Chicken's going to have huge games. He's going to have a coming out party. No one's going to hear him. And then you're going to hear Tom Brady come up in the next by October, November, say, Chigga Conquia is the shorter version of Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, come on, Mark.
Because this kid, I'll tell you right now.
We'll see, Mark. Hey, we got to run, Mark. I appreciate you chiming in. I'm going to hold you to that. Tom Brady calling Chig the next Gronk. Love your passion when you chime in. And look, you don't have to convince me that Diami Brown could be the most important new offensive player. I've been the Diami Brown backer for a few years. He played his way out of Washington in the postseason. I saw that coming. He earned a big contract. I'm so glad that he came back, and we'll see what he can do. I'll give you my answer on the other side of this break. Who needs to be the most important and impactful new players for the Washington Commanders to get to the postseason? Because we all know that is the ultimate goal for this season. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast. Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. We'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible, 1-800-636-1067. If you're too busy to call in, you're driving around the DMV, maybe you could tweet us if you got time to do that, at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. We're asking you, who's the most important new offensive player, and who's the most important new defensive player? And with this conversation, I think you start by looking at the rookies. Like, Mark is right. Like, Sonny Styles' speed could be a big difference maker this year. I mean, that's why ESPN's talking about it, right? Talking Benjamin Solak saying that Washington, with one of the biggest improvements for a position group, linebacker, bringing in Leo Chenal and Sonny Styles, who just have so much more speed and athleticism than the older Bobby Wagner did. So you start by looking at the rookies. I mean, Antonio Williams, I talked all about him when he was drafted. And I'll continue to talk about him. He's going to surprise some people because he could play slot and on the outside. Really smooth route runner, great hands, like secure hands, will make sure he has the catch. He'll have better hands than Jalen Lane. I think he'll have better stats than Jalen Lane already. I think we're getting a dog in Antonio Williams, one of the best receivers from Clemson in the last 15 years. Like, there's a reason that he stayed at Clemson and broke those records. He's legit. So you start by looking at the rookies, and then I think you look at some of the new players that were bought in free agency. Rashad White's got to be on the list. He might not be the most important new offensive player, but he's got to be on the list because we missed that last year, like a good third down back that can really make a guy miss when they catch the ball out of the backfield. So I think that's where you start. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Who's the most important new offensive player and the most important new defensive player? Let's go to Kevin in Richmond. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Awad, thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, offensively, I would say one of the sneaky picks is definitely Chig Okonkwo. I think, you know, the buy low, you know, sell high stock of him, you know, how he was kind of didn't really have the QB play and, you know, everybody says how much he was wide, you know, how many plays he was wide open and the Titans didn't know how to use him correctly, and now that we're in a system that the quarterback who now needs another safety valve like a young tight end, I really think we could take advantage of that. And then on the defensive side, I would easily say Odafe Owe, the $100 million man. Although I think, you know, the future of this team is Sonny's, I think this year the pressure, the heat is on Odafe to actually do something or be a stud on this team.
I'm glad you brought up those answers, all right, because here's the truth. I believe those are the correct answers. I think we're on the same page. I wrote down Chig Okonkwo, most important new offensive player, Odafe Owe, most important new defensive player. Here's the problem, is that we're fans saying we believe that, but these two guys have not proven that yet in their career. So, like, this is a trust in Adam Peters situation. Like, Chig Okonkwo, yeah, you could say he hasn't had the quarterback play. He's been in the league for, like, 3 or 4 years. Like, I don't care. The quarterback's been bad. I thought you'd have better stats. I mean, fantasy stats. He's been 23 tight end 24, tight end 26. And now we're going to think he's going to be a tight end top 15? And Odafe Owe, like, if the Ravens loved him so much, why'd they trade him across the country to his brother? Like, so I believe that's the right answer, but we're trusting in Adam Peters, right?
I mean, that's... That's the hope, you know, and I've trusted in Adam before. Sometimes I've questioned a choice he's made here or there, but I think, you know, both of those situations, especially when they happen, Owe in the middle of free agency, we needed to make a big splash. We did it. And Chig just kind of seemed like, I've heard a lot of people talking like, you know, our tight end play has always just been, I guess, Zach Ertz catching the ball 8 yards down the field and falling down. So we needed a younger, athletic guy who has maybe higher potential and the league hadn't seen yet. So, I mean, I'm excited for him, but I 100% agree. Like, it's a big question mark. Like, what can he do with this offense?
Yeah, we'll see, man. Good call. Appreciate you chiming in, Kevin. Let's go to Toothpick in Fort Worth. What's up, Toothpick?
Hey, well, it was good, man. It's always great to wake up to you in the morning, man. Wait, pause. It's always good to hear you in the morning. Get us all excited about the our area sports teams. So, listen, I'm going to cheat a little bit when it comes to your question on offense. I'm going to go with the unit. I'm going to go the starting offensive line. And I know last year we were pretty much healthy on the offensive line, but these guys need to have another healthy year, build some depth, keep Jaden upright, open holes for Bill, give receivers time to work down the field. And
so, hold
like
on.
That.
So,
let Chig thing. Do his thing.
Who's your new starting center?
I understand it's Allegretti. That's the veteran, and the rookie still he still needs some seasoning, even though you still have four good players around you. But I still say it's that whole unit, man. Like, we were nothing without the Hogs, right? Mm. Like, the Hogs were the feature for all three Super Bowls that we have. And, yeah, there were a couple of replacements here and there, but it's still that starting five on offense.
Yeah.
As far as defense goes, I'm going to go with the most excited person that dropped all the MFers and the S-bombs. I'm going to go Javon Kinlaw. He's really excited about what's going on. And maybe this year he comes out and has more than zero sacks and a lot of tackles for loss. So I'm going with Kinlaw. You cause problems up front, and then the back end benefits from it. So I'm going to go Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah, good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in. I enjoyed watching Kinlaw last year. I thought that Dietrich Wise and Kinlaw with Payne was kind of like solid against the run. And Dorrance Armstrong on the outside. And then we just got dealt with so many injuries last year. And that's what I'm excited about with this defensive line. And the Kinlaw quote is unbelievable. I'm not sure Ben Strober has the editing skills to work and cut out all of those. But if you do, I'd love to air it again. We played it this week. I mean, he was dropping, instead of using commas, he was using the S word. It was so much fun to listen to. And he knighted the entire defensive line. I've never been so fired up for an OTA comment. All right, so I'll definitely say that. Got me so excited. But here's the thing about that is, you know, I feel like last year, like he talked about some of the guys that were added last year, right? He was added last year. Dietrich Wise was added last year. Armstrong the year before that. Well, those guys got hurt. Well, but they're still here, right? And so then you add this guy, this year's guys of Tim Settle, Adafe Owe, Chaisson, Sonny Styles, and now you're talking about, all right, this is a seven-man front, right, defensive line and linebackers that you've built over two seasons. That it should be above average in the NFL because you've built it over two seasons. And so I loved that clip from Javon Kinlaw. I'm excited to – I don't know that I would expect more from him this year. I think you're looking about the same kind of production. I don't think he's a sack guy. I think his thing is – he's going to have to clog up the middle of the field and stop the run. And we'll see if he can, you know, get any of the, you know, tackles for loss. I don't know if I see that really happening much, but I just think if he could just be solid, serviceable in the front, and then with Tim Settle and Daron Payne, and then you bring in Dietrich Wise, and we have more bodies up front, it should be a situation where you're going to have less of a running back be able to get 8 yards on first down with Kinlaw, with Wise, with the new defensive players that we brought in on the line. If we're not much better at stopping the run, then it's a disaster. And I think Dan Quinn identified that this offseason and will make that change. That's why we brought in these level of guys here that should be able to be in a big improvement in stopping the run. Nick Cross is part of that as well. But here's that clip from Javon Kinlaw. Trust in Strober's editing on this one. Sorry, CK.
New pieces they added defensively, you know, on the D-line, Owe, several guys.
Yeah, we got some mother now. Excuse my language, but yeah, Owe, he can go. Charles Amenihu can go. Caleb Vaughn can go. Tim Settle, he can go. Who else am I missing? Then we got Wise back. You already know he can go. Got D.A. coming back. He can go. Jerzon can go. I mean, D. Payne can go. You know, it's going to be exciting, bro. It's going to be super exciting to play with these guys for sure. A lot of talent, bro. I'm just excited, bro. I'm super excited.
I want to go. I want to run through a wall for those guys. Man, it got me super excited. It's May 30th here on AWOD Radio, and we've got the best two words in sports, Game 7. We'll get into the NBA a little bit later on the show today. We'll talk some Washington Nationals baseball as promised because they are at 500, even though they've dropped last two games here. And then A.J. DeBonsta, the monster out of BYU, my new favorite basketball player who I expect to come to Washington with the number one overall pick. He went on my favorite basketball podcast, All the Smoke, and he wants all that smoke from rookies in the NBA. I cannot wait for AJ. I'll play some of that audio a little bit later on the show. It's AWOD Radio here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back on The Fan. Happy Saturday, everybody. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine. Love doing this show here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital, 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980, talking about my favorite teams in all of the land. And we've been focusing on the Commanders OTAs, our first chance to see the guys in Ashburn. I mean, my goodness, I could talk about Jaden Daniels for hours, how excited I am for him. I really think he's going to have one of those seasons where it's like, hey, I'm back. Remember me. All he doesn't have to do is stay healthy. That's all he has to do is stay healthy. And I think he's going to move back into the top 10 list for quarterbacks. I will say this, though. The list is getting harder to make because Jaden's part of a draft class that has Caleb Williams, who now has a playoff win, Drake May, playoff win, Bo Nix, playoff win. Like, are you putting all four now in the top 10? No. You're probably going to have to pick and choose. Jaden will have to perform better than his classmates to move back into the top 10. But I definitely think that's possible if he stays healthy. The question of the day right now has been, who's the most important new commander on the offensive and defensive side of the ball? 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. That's AWADDRADIO. Appreciate Brian and Denise and Juan letting me know that they're listening. Let's go to Luke in D.C., line two. Luke, you're on the fan with AWOD. What's up, buddy?
Yo, what's going on, AWOD? So, yeah, this is who I think is going to be the most improved or most impactful. I think Sonny Styles is going to be the defensive rookie of the year because I know it's cliche. He's the number one. He's the first round pick. But what people don't understand about Sonny Styles, and shout out to Telly, my buddy, he told me about. He made this point. I think that there's only going to be one Sonny Styles when his career is over. I think he's going to be not only a great middle linebacker, green dot. I think people are going to really underestimate his pass rushing ability. I think he might have over 200 sacks when it's all said and done. And I think it's going to start this year. I think he's going to have give or take 120, 130 combined tackles this year. I think he might have 11 sacks.
Wow. I don't know if I can go anywhere near that high, but look, he's going to have opportunities. I appreciate the hype for Sonny Styles. I'd probably say 4 sacks at the most. I'd probably say 80 to 90 tackles. I don't want to put the expectations too high. And he's going to have to earn his opportunity over Jordan McGee, over Leo Chenal, right, guys that were brought in here. I think down the road, yeah, he's going to be our Mike linebacker. He's going to be our best defensive player for hopefully a decade. If everything goes right, we never draft a guy that's that talented again. We got great guys in free agency and via trade, but we shouldn't be drafting number 7 next year or the year after that or top 10 for a while, right? Like, the whole thing I've been saying is Adam Peters has to stabilize this franchise so that we're not bottoming out and finishing 5-12.
I mean, you're right about that, AWOD. But can I make a comparison? This is probably the closest comparison I can think of for Sonny Styles, and this guy actually didn't end up really panning out in the NFL, but he was a great college player, and it's kind of what I kind of compare him to. Remember Isaiah Simmons hype?
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of what I'm hoping Sonny Styles ends up being better than in the NFL. I hope he can be the what Isaiah Simmons was supposed to be.
Yeah. No,
that's,
I mean,
that's kind of
that's a good point because he represents a new era of linebackers that are strong, that are faster and maybe lighter than some of the linebackers of the past. There was a lot of hype for Isaiah Simmons. I see what you're saying there. Hopefully a guy that's a converted safety in Sonny Styles has a much better career. Appreciate you chiming in, man. Good call. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. So I told my answer to the question to a caller last segment. I want to go a little bit into more detail of why I think these are the players that need to be the most important and impactful new players for this team to have success. And so we start with Adafe Owe. He's the $100 million man. So, like, when anybody talks about who's under the most pressure this season, well, one of the easy answers is, well, the guy that's making the most money, $100 million man. But the reason that I'm saying Adafe Owe is not the $100 million man. It's that he's playing a position that this defense just sucked at last year, and that is getting sacks. embarrassing to have Von Miller, who played 30 snaps, lead us in sacks. We were the most desperate team in the NFL for an edge rusher. That's why there was Crosby talk. There was Trey Hendrickson talk. There was talk all offseason. I mean, there was talk last year about trading for Myles Garrett. I mean, the talk hasn't stopped about edge rusher position because it was a position we sucked at last year. That's why Odafe Oweh needs to be one of the most important new players on this team, because he's replacing a position that was one of our worst last year. Von Miller leading us in sacks, playing 30% of the snaps. Oweh's coming in here. He's got to get that Von Miller number, and with a $100 million tag next to his name, he's probably got to get 10 sacks in my mind, or else people are going to hate him. You look at the offensive side of the ball, and I really wanted to bring up Rashad White, a big, big piece to this offense in my mind, a new Austin Ekeler. Not saying he's going to be exactly like Austin Ekeler, but that kind of a piece there that could really help this team, as Ekeler was so big in 2024. But as we've talked about, I think the answer of who's the most important new player, it's our new tight end on a team that lacked explosive plays from tight ends last year. And also, like, we were desperate for an edge rusher in the offseason. Low-key, we were desperate for a tight end, right? Because Zach Ertz got hurt and got hurt so bad that he was done for the end of last season and not going to be ready most likely for the start of this season. So there was no, hey, we could run it back with Zach. That wasn't a possibility. So then you move down the depth chart. John Bates is not a pass-catching tight end. Move down the depth chart. Ben Sennett, he could get cut this year. He has not performed. Move down the depth. Colson Yankoff, nobody, right? So we were one of the most desperate teams in the NFL to get a tight end. You paid Chig Okonkwo when you need him to perform. The worry in my mind, as I talked to that caller about, is Chig Okonkwo's three seasons in Tennessee, tight end 23, 24, and 26. He basically lived in the same fantasy neighborhood his whole career, and now we're asking him to move up a weight class into the top 15 and borderline top 10. And, yeah, we can all say, well, because Jaden Daniels, it'll be different because he has a quarterback in Jaden Daniels. And we don't even know that Jaden Daniels is going to stay healthy throughout the season. It comes down to my trust in Adam Peters. I believe in our general manager. I'm going to continue to fight off the haters, because I believe in our general manager, who gave me the best season of Commanders Redskins football of my lifetime. And I think last year was a step back, and we'll take a big step forward here. It was just a setback rather than just, this year before being a fraud. I don't believe that at all. I believe in Adam Peters. He has been general manager for 2.5 off seasons, right? This will be the third year. At the end of this year, everybody can certainly make their opinion up on him, because three free agent class, three draft class, three opportunities to trade for players. You should have your building blocks of the future. You should have every single major position covered. And this offseason was the last couple, two, right? Needed to get a D-end, needed to get a tight end of the future. If everything works out, Chig's going to get a second contract in Washington. Maybe Oweh gets a second contract in Washington, because those are two guys that have not hit their peak yet, their prime in the NFL. And Adam Peters, I think he gave that contract because he believes they're going to hit that potential this season. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD Radio on the Fan.